panic, only to collapse on itself in its current drug-induced haze.
Yes, I did,
Dunyasha groused, slumping into her bed. In moving, she'd exposed her chest and her left arm, which looked like a terribly burnt and wizened piece of muscle rather than anything else. Reaching down, she grabbed the blanket with her right arm and then pulled the blanket and her gown back up.
Like some lovesick, idiotic schoolgirl, I gave up everything to chase you. And this is the price I'm paying. They burned me with acid and beat me, said Dunyasha. Dumped holy water on me, too.
It was all true, too. He could see the attack replaying in her memories. Her thoughts touched on her reasons for doing what she did and what she'd hoped to get out of it. Gus had been a unique presence in her life, one that had shattered her previous convictions and expectations. He alone had fostered a massive change in her mind and what she wanted.
Now, I'm what you see, and the high-powered blood, as you called it, is infinitely out of my reach. By the time I could get any, it'd be too late to heal the damage. The vampire regeneration would have locked me into what I am,
Dunyasha explained. He could see in her thoughts that she had contacts on her computer that she could use, but no one would respond to her, even if she tried. There wasn't a point to it.
And the Fed doesn't have any. Mark and Finn already checked for me. Their blood stocks were at one of the Fed buildings that blew up.
Grimly, Dunyasha's single brown eye turned back to him.
Going to be locked into what you see me as now. So much for everything,
said the blood mage. Even as he continued to peer into her mind, he saw only layer after layer of depression and sadness. There was no resentment toward him, only regret. Indali said from her corner of his mind. It took him a moment to realize what she was referring to. An idle thought of feeding her blood directly from his arm had flitted through his mind. To partner feed her.
What about the blood of a boogeyman?
Gus asked, pulling his coat off at the same time.
I mean, what about it?
Is that considered high-powered?
Yes, but the only contacts I had in the council obviously won't be talking to me.
Gus got a deep flash of multiple people when that group was mentioned, people that he desperately liked to get a hold of. Once more, he got the impression that she had their contact information on her computer at home.
I'd like to talk to you more about that later, and about a case I'm working,
Gus said, rolling up the sleeve of his button-down shirt.
For now, though, I'm going to partner feed you.
Dunyasha smiled with one side of her mouth, the other side not moving very much.
I'm flattered, Gus, but I don't need any regular blood. I'm full. Human blood wouldn't do much for me, but I'm truly flattered,
Dunyasha murmured, her single eye's path trailing down toward her lap.
Humor me,
Gus said, pulling his carry knife free from his belt.
I'm sure you'll find me delicious, and you won't be able to get enough. Chloe can't.
Sighing, Dunyasha nodded her head.
Fine. If this isn't pity feeding, then fine.
Definitely not pity,
Gus agreed. Cutting himself in the same spot as always, he didn't waste any more time and simply pushed his wrist straight up to Dunyasha's mouth.
Gus, I'm sure Chloe, being a foul-mouthed knuckle-dragger, if ever there was one, wouldn't know proper manners. But you shouldn't just shove it in my mouth, you know. I'd at least like...
Dunyasha's words trailed off, and her nose twitched several times, sniffing his blood. Then her tongue came out and ran up along the bleeding wound he'd made. Looking up to him, Dunyasha's single eye widened.
"Sure you don't want me to just shove it in your mouth?"
Gus asked playfully.
"I could always just..."
Dunyasha's mouth closed down around the cut, her right arm coming up to loop around his forearm. Holding it in place, she started to make odd hiccuping noises. She began to drink as deeply as she could from him, pulling at him as a drowning man would a life preserver. Her thoughts tripped over one another in their need to get to the top first. First, that she was actually partner feeding from him. Second, that he was a boogeyman. And third, that he was a telepath. A truth she knew from tasting his blood. One that was actively reading her mind, she guessed. And finally, that he had apparently accepted all that she was and her thoughts throughout, even when he met her the first time. Power and strength began to well up from inside her with every hard gulp of his blood. She could actually feel her body begin to mend itself, as if it had been an engine running out of fuel and had suddenly found a new tank to pull from, with much better fuel. Gus was about to tease her when he noticed the trail of tears falling down from her one eye. She was watching him now as she fed, crying, sobbing over his arm, and drinking from him as fast as she could. Gus could hear Dunyasha's thoughts as they went screaming around in a circle over and over, that he was listening to her thoughts and still fed her, in a never-ending loop, all being bowled over by a deep and vast amount of gratitude. And something else he couldn't identify.
Right. Not a good time to tease her.
Chapter 4. Deep Enough to Drown. Getting into the car, Gus looked over at Serafina, who was tapping away at a laptop.
"Her medical records indicate she had acid dumped on her, followed by holy water," Serafina said, her glasses glowing brightly from the glare of her screen. Frowning, he considered her for several seconds.
"Huh. When I met you, you weren't wearing glasses,"
Gus said, rather than respond to her clearly illegal activity of hacking into the hospital records.
"Huh? Oh, yes, I was wearing contacts. I ran out and just decided not to bother with getting new ones. They don't fit my eyes very well anyway. They're always too small for me," Serafina said, her fingers flying across the keyboard for several seconds. Then she stopped and turned to look at him. "Why? Do my glasses look bad?"
"No. I actually think you look rather cute with them. Makes your eyes look even bigger,"
Gus said with a smirk.
"They're already too big. I don't need them to look bigger,"
grumbled Serafina as she looked back to her laptop. Shifting her foot to the side, she pushed the bag that held the remains of her dinner further forward.
If you say so,"
Gus murmured. He didn't want to get into that conversation. He had a feeling it was a personal touch point with her for some reason.
"Talk to Dunyasha a bit."
"And fed her."
"And fed her,"
Gus agreed, wondering if Serafina had hacked into a camera he hadn't noticed in Dunyasha's room.
There's a computer at her home that has contact information for the type of people we'd really be interested in."
"Oh?"
Serafina asked, her voice coming across a bit too eager in that single word.
"A computer with contacts we want? People to hunt down? For me to dig up information on?"
"That and a whole lot more, I guess,"
Gus agreed.
"Need to find out information on Retribution and the Council."
Serafina sighed and looked away from him at the mention of Retribution.
"We really shouldn't be bothering him. We really shouldn't," complained Serafina.
Driving over to Dunyasha's place, a rather spacious penthouse in a good part of the city, Gus ended up driving by the parking lot where she'd been attacked. As far as he could tell, there were no signs anything had happened there now. Everything had been cleaned up as quickly as possible, like nothing had ever happened. At all.
"I think the rent here might be more than our mortgage," Serafina muttered, looking up to the top of the building.
"Probably not, but I don't think I'd trade places with her. I like our house,
Gus said, pulling into the parking space on the street. Putting the car in park, he gathered up his things and then checked over his shoulder to make sure he wasn't opening his door into traffic. Seeing nothing, he got out and walked over to Serafina's side of the car. Still working at getting her things together, she didn't actually notice he was there.
You fluster her almost as bad as you do Haley,
Indali said.
I do. I've been nothing but polite to her.
Doesn't change who you are. You may not scare me, but she's not as hardened as I am,
explained Indali. Gus couldn't argue with that point. He knew Indali had spent hard time in a third world prison while not even in the current century. There was no question in his mind that she'd likely done some ugly things to survive. Things he couldn't agree with and wouldn't have probably done himself. Opening the car door as soon as Serafina got her seatbelt off, he held out a hand to help her out. For whatever reason, she always seemed to him as though she needed help in one way or another, and he didn't feel any qualms in offering it to her. He rather enjoyed it.
Thank you, Gustavus,
Serafina said, taking his hand and then standing up. Moving to the side, she got out of the way, allowing Gus to close the door.
It's Gus, Sarah. Gus. Gus,
Gus said, emphasizing his name with a chuckle.
Or if you want, Indigo. Right, Violet?
Serafina's face slowly turned dark red as she stared at him. Not only was she shy and a little naive, she also didn't quite understand social norms. Her eye contact game was off the charts and would likely intimidate most people. Realizing she wasn't going to reply, Gus went to the door of the apartment building. A greeter there opened the door and held it for him and Serafina to enter. Except, they ended up in a closed lobby that required a pass card to enter. Unfortunately, Gus did not have a card to use. Serafina eased Gus to one side and pulled out a card from her laptop bag. Stuffing it into the reader, she held onto the edge of it. Her eyes began to glow brighter and brighter as she stood there until the panel she was standing in front of started to reflect the light back at her. There was a hard clack as the door unlocked. At the same time, the lights from Serafina's eyes dimmed back to normal. Retracting the card from the slot, Serafina gave him a small smile and then pulled the door open and entered the building's main lobby.
The bypass was elsewhere,
Serafina said as they walked over to the elevator doors.
Took a bit longer than I wanted, but it worked.
Remind me to take you everywhere,
Gus grumbled, thumbing the elevator call button to go up. With technology progressing faster and faster around him, he often felt a little out of place. He wasn't bad with electronics. He just wasn't a wizard with them.
I can remind you of that, if you like,
Serafina offered as the elevator doors slid open.
I think I'd be very good as a field agent.
We're not in the Fed anymore,
Gus replied as they stepped in and the door slid shut. Serafina pulled the card out once more and pushed it into the reader slot, then tapped the P button.
I think I'd be very good as a field detective,
Serafina amended in a flat voice. There was a small glow to her eyes right now as she stood there, but nothing like it had been previously. The elevator dinged and then began to move upward.
She can't use a firearm very well. I think that was what got us stuck behind a desk,
Indali murmured.
Not everyone has a beautiful sidearm that assists them better than a partner could.
Well, that's true, I suppose. And thank you.
Serafina pulled the card out of the reader and slid it back into her bag once more. The elevator hummed as they traveled up and then slowly came to a stop. Chiming once more, the doors opened onto a small hallway with only one door. Walking over to it, Serafina clicked her tongue.
No card reader,
she complained mildly.
My turn then,
Gus said, reaching behind himself. Pulling his lockpick set from his belt, he got down on one knee in front of the door. Pulling out a tension wrench and eyeing the door, Gus wondered if it would be easier to just see if he could rake it.
Sometimes the security on the outside is what they count on.
Realizing it wouldn't hurt him to try it, he pulled out a three-peaked rake and just ran it back and forth through the lock.
That can't actually work, can it? Serafina asked from beside him. She sounded rather nervous and as if she was looking over her shoulder at the elevator.
Well, sometimes a low-skill attack yields better results than trying to hit each pin. You'd be surprised how often...
With a clunk, Gus felt the core of the lock begin to turn.
How often this works,
he finished saying, and then unlocked the lock. Checking the handle, he felt it turn easily. Moving up to the deadbolt, he stuffed in the tension wrench and started to pull the rake back and forth again. Quicker than he wanted to believe, he got movement on the lock. Pulling it to the side with his wrench, he heard the bolt retract.
I want new locks on our house, Serafina demanded.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I already installed the best ones I can. They'll still get picked if someone really wanted to get in, but it'll take them a lot longer than they want. A whole lot longer,
Gus murmured, holding onto the door handle.
The other trick, though, is that a mechanical lock is only half the battle. It's different if you trigger an alarm by opening the door. And to be honest, I'm kinda having trouble remembering which code Dunyasha used for her alarm.
Serafina shoved at the door in front of them, opening it. Immediately, the house alarm started to chirp questioningly. Walking inside, Serafina reached up a hand and pressed her palm to the keypad. There was a series of angry squawks from the plastic box, followed by a sudden low beep, then all went silent.
Done,
Serafina said, turning to look at Gus with a smile.
Now, come in and close the door. Let's find that computer.
I mean, probably not that hard to find,
Gus said with a chuckle.
Try her office?
Office? Does she even have an office? I didn't have an office until I contracted with Mel,
muttered Serafina under her breath.
And Dunyasha lived alone, without a boyfriend, in the penthouse, and still had an office?
And a view,
Gus said, pointing at the massive windows lining one wall.
Ugh, I was living wrong. All wrong, Serafina groused. I should have gotten into crime, like my cousin. I bet she has her own place, with an office and a view.
Don't forget the no boyfriend part,
Gus said, following Serafina around the penthouse.
I didn't. I like having a boyfriend.
She's far more honest than Vanessa, Janelle, Chloe, or I ever were, at least,
Indali complimented.
I'm really looking forward to losing my virginity. Sex looks and sounds really fun every time I watch porn,
Serafina concluded.
Perhaps a bit too honest.
Gus couldn't argue with that last thought from Indali.
Ah, here we are,
cheered Serafina as she hurried over to a computer set atop a desk, even going so far as to lightly skip at the halfway point. Dropping her laptop bag down next to the table leg, she tapped the power button on the computer.
Oh, goodness me, a password? Whatever shall I do?
Serafina asked in a mocking tone. Reaching up, she laid her hand against the front of the tower. A high-pitched whine was followed by the screen flickering, and then the computer unlocked itself.
All right, let's go hunting.
Withdrawing her laptop from its bag, Serafina set it down next to the monitor and then pulled out a cord from the same bag. Plugging the laptop into the computer with the cord, she then scooted the chair in closer.
Right, I'm gonna take a look around,
Gus said as Serafina got comfortable.
Don't go far,
she said with a small hand wave.
I might need you. I can get lost sometimes.
Wandering off, Gus began to slowly move from room to room. While mucking about in Dunyasha's head, he'd learned a great many of her secret hiding spots. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to determine the contents of them. Going from cache to cache, Gus found a plethora of things. Thousands of dollars in cash, enchanted items, several books on blood magic, fridges filled with stabilized blood, and a number of very illegal automatic rifles. but nothing that would be of any use to him in his current case to find retribution. Nor did he happen to find anything that would help him get any closer to the council. Leaving everything exactly as he found it, Gus ended up heading back to Serafina. She was still busily working away at the computer, one hand on her laptop's keyboard and the other on the computer's. Her fingers were dancing across both as if she knew what she was typing without looking. Moving over to the sofa that was perched next to the bookcase, Gus sat down. He was more or less a piece of furniture himself right now.
Everyone has their own thing.
Indeed. Hers just happens to be in today's day and age. I can't deny, I'm a little jealous,
Indali said.
Yeah, me too,
Gus agreed. Pulling out his phone, he checked the front. There were messages from a few different people. The first several were all from Melody, ranging from nude photos of herself to dirty messages, and then rapidly switching to the conversation with Finn about dinner. He wasn't really surprised by it anymore. This was more or less the status quo for Melody.
The photos today, though, are a little less direct than last week's. Maybe she's paying attention.
Dunyasha sent a lot of emails to her sister about you,
Serafina mumbled.
A lot of emails. She stalked you quite a bit. Learned everything she could about you and your family, which admittedly wasn't much since there isn't much information out there about you. I should know. I've dug.
Gus didn't bother to respond to that. Neither of those statements surprised him. Dunyasha, because he'd already seen how driven she'd been to catch him. Serafina, on the other hand, he wasn't surprised about because it fit her personality to a T. Moving to the next message, he saw it was from Janelle. Tapping it open, he found it was a picture of a plane ticket. One way, final destination being St. Anthony. Unable to help himself, Gus smiled at that. Janelle was turning out to be a romantic.
Gustavus, I think I might have found something, Serafina said, finally looking away from the computer. I managed to break into a few different email accounts. Got into the first one with some basic social engineering for someone who was actually online. Moved around from there. I think the council was looking for retribution as well. As were a couple of covens. Most of their searches have all been circling around Larimer. Larimer, Colorado.
He could sense a but coming on, so he waited, letting his phone fall down into his lap. Serafina let out a small huff and then fully turned around in the chair, facing him directly. Her eyes were definitely magnified behind the lenses. They were also glowing once more. It honestly made her very pretty to look at.
All of their own investigations died out a couple weeks ago. I can't find anything about why, but no one talks about it anymore. No one talks about it. It's weird, explained Serafina.
So someone scrubbed their communications, or they were ordered not to talk about it,
Gus hypothesized.
Figure anything else out? Anything we can use to our advantage?
Not really. Though, given all the information I found, I think Dunyasha was attacked by a coven from Larimer as well. Not sure why, but that's my guess,
Serafina said, her left hand coming up to slightly adjust her glasses to rest higher on her nose.
No other reason for them to send members up this way.
Closing his eyes, Gus rested a hand over them as well.
All right. We have the council looking into retribution and also doing all they can to bring the paraworld into the normal world. Even opposing the church, governments, basically everyone, to try and do it. We have a number of covens looking into retribution, and one of those covens attempted to exterminate Dunyasha outright. They weren't out to maim her, but kill her. The only reason she isn't dead is some random passerby was carrying and started shooting at him,
Gus said, summarizing everything.
Oh, remind me to send them a thank you note for that. Then we have the Fed, partially infiltrated by what I'm assuming is the Council, who are looking for retribution either for the Council or for their own needs. And then lastly, we have the Silent One, a god, who is our enemy and is likely actively working against us to prevent the Originator from coming back.
Yes, That's all accurate,
Serafina agreed.
I think there's some overlap in some of those groups and how they might interconnect, but it's essentially all correct. I do wonder about the Covens. Perhaps they're being employed by both the Council and the Silent One? That would be my assumption at this junction.
Huh, yeah, that'd make this even worse. If they were working both sides, that'd make it all the more possible for them to gang up on us later.
Unlikely, though we'll have to be careful to not create a shared interest in us for them,
Serafina suggested.
Perhaps we should employ others to assist us so we don't catch the full brunt of their interests in whatever we do. But yes, your summarization was quite accurate and correct. It was well thought out, Gustavus.
Great. Glad I got all that correct. Because honestly, I'm feeling like I'm way out of my depth. And part of me wants to try and talk Mel into going to one of those different worlds I went through,
said Gus with a heavy sigh.
Giving up this case and not doing it. Not wanting anything to do with it at all, on any level.
Looking thoughtful, Serafina considered that.
But if we don't do this, who would?
Who would indeed? I'm not really sure that matters to us, or should even concern us,
Gus mumbled,
because we're not really the right people for this kind of thing. We're just the detective agency, really.
Yes, you're correct, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing this. It just means we have to be extraordinarily careful,
Serafina argued.
It's no different than when I'm doing a deep dive into something. There's always the risk of getting caught or locked into something. We just have to exercise a greater degree of caution.
Not sure if you've noticed or not, but Mel isn't great with being cautious. And I'm not exactly a trophy-winning example of that either,
said Gus.
You most certainly are not, Indali agreed.
It's all right. I'm very cautious, Gustavus. I'll do my best to keep everyone behind the line, so to speak,
Serafina promised.
I hope so, Sarah. I hope so.
Chapter 5. Prep Work. Groaning, Gus walked into his hotel room and looked around. Much like any other hotel room he'd been in, this one seemed no different at all. From the furniture to the cheap decorations to the carpet that looked like it was just one bad spill away from needing to be replaced. The kind of place you really wouldn't want to shine a black light on because the facade of any cleanliness it had would vanish.
At least this one seems quite a bit nicer than a lot of the other ones where I've stayed in the last decade. All the normal expectations here. Mini fridge, closet, bathroom, sofa, desk, TV, and two beds.
They'd briefly considered checking in somewhere nicer, but considering that this hotel catered to paras, allowed for not presenting IDs, took cash, and asked no questions, it was hard to argue with it. Nodding his head, he walked over to one of the dressers and pulled his luggage up next to it. Then he did the same for Janelle's, setting it up next to his own. He wasn't going to start unpacking anything at the moment, but having it there would certainly encourage him to do that sooner rather than later. Because he knew if he didn't at least try, he'd just live out of his suitcase, pulling out the clothes he needed for the day, and never anything else.
That wasn't so bad. In fact, it was rather nice,
Janelle said as she entered the room behind him.
The flight was rather smooth. No really bad turbulence, and I even managed to get some decent fruit juice.
Rolling his eyes, Gus wanted to argue with the royal elf, but he knew better. She was likely alluding to the fact that they'd ended up sitting next to one another on the flight, rather than any of the amenities for the flight itself. And since there were only two seats to each side of the row, they'd been more or less alone with one another for the entire flight, keeping Gus as a hostage, so to speak, to her conversational whims.
Really? Really? You think so? I don't think so,
growled Chloe, stomping into the room.
Because for me, this was a damn red-eye flight, and I'm feeling it. I wanted to sleep in my seat. I even had a nice pillow. Planned it all out. But of course, Sarah decided this was the perfect opportunity to see how many times she could hit her space bar on a 2-hour flight, which I swear to God had to have been 1,000 times.
That's not true. I was working on a program that would help us penetrate the local Fed offices and the PID offices as well, if we needed to,
Serafina countered. Shutting the door, she entered the room behind Chloe.
Both of their systems will likely be different since the bombings. Homemade things that probably won't have any architecture that I'm used to. We'll need to access everything we can from them to be able to figure out what they know. So I really needed to...
Chloe made a frustrated noise that was loud enough to interrupt Serafina and pulled off the large sunglasses she'd been wearing. All the creams, lotions, shampoos, eye drops, and oils in the world could help her with anything exposed to sunlight, but there were always going to be parts of her that were more sensitive than others.
Sarah, I literally watched you retype the same thing about 20 times before you finally settled on the exact same thing you typed the time before,
Chloe said, and sat down on one of the two beds.
The same thing every damn time.
That's not true. If I did retype the same thing repeatedly, I was probably testing a query and seeing the results,
argued Serafina, sitting down on the bed next to Chloe.
And anyway, you should sleep at night, not during the day. You're not really a vampire anymore. You're a human with a sun allergy.
A human with a sun allergy,
Chloe said in a flat voice.
I think maybe you've been surfing too much again and...
I think they'll argue for a while,
Janelle said, leaning up against the dresser next to Gus.
Want to head out with me and get some dinner for everyone? We could probably go take a look around and talk next steps as we do now that we're in Larimer. That and I wouldn't mind getting out and walking around with you.
That's not the point!
Chloe exclaimed loudly, glaring at Serafina.
Yeah, sure, that works. Probably better than sitting around here,
Gus said, and then gestured toward the door.
We'll be back, Sarah. Getting dinner for everyone.
He knew that Serafina would hear him and store the information away for later, even if Chloe was too busy being angry to have heard a bomb dropping nearby. Serafina was more like a computer at times than anyone really expected. Getting out of the room and into the hall, Gus was quick to close the door behind them. Chloe sounded like she was building up a full head of steam. To be honest, he couldn't quite fault her. If he was lacking sleep and someone decided to play finger tap dance next to him, he'd probably be grumpy as well.
Ugh, she and Sarah do like to argue,
Janelle murmured, holding a hand out toward the end of the hall and the elevator bay.
It's a good thing they both enjoy it. Though it's rather amusing to me how quickly they become so friendly with one another. I think it's because of them both being marginalized in Paris society. One for criminal activity, the other for not living anywhere near what you could reasonably call a dense population.
Obviously. Otherwise we'd be talking about how to break down a corpse. Unsure if it'd be a vampire or a spirit of knowledge, however. And honestly, I was never that good at it,
Indali said in a mutter.
You'd be surprised how often there are bone shadows left over after you burn everything. You have to crush those down and spread it out.
I probably would be surprised. I never really bothered with anything like that. I just left them out in the open for others to find. Was easier that way, and always brought in more people.
Indali didn't respond to his statement. Stepping into the elevator, Janelle put her hands behind her back and lifted her eyes up toward the button display.
Think there'll be anything nearby that we can walk to? She asked. Still a few hours before the sun sets. Perfect time to let ourselves wander a bit.
Most places I've stayed have had a little paper at the front desk that lists out everything nearby,
Gus commented with a shrug of his shoulders.
Sometimes with a map, too, because that's what everyone always asks about. Food. Well, that and booze.
Oh? We can stop by there first. I have a question I want to ask them anyway. I'll check for that paper and my question,
Janelle said, and then sighed.
Not to mention I need to find a drugstore. I need a few things that I hadn't even considered I'd need.
Gus wondered about that. As someone who'd lived a life similar to hers, Gus practically had everything ready to go at all times. He'd done his best to never set down roots because he could get shipped out at a moment's notice. And he'd certainly not been enlisted as long as she had.
Then again, she just formally retired while mid-career. Not like she was a discharge. Maybe this is a shock to her, more so than she's letting on. Okay,
Gus said, instead of vocalizing any of his thoughts.
I'll just grab a chair while you do that, or see if they have any coffee out or a machine I could use.
Reaching the ground floor, they both exited the elevator. Janelle went to the front desk, while Gus was unable to find anything resembling already made coffee that he could just take. The only machine they had was a complicated affair with too many knobs and buttons for his taste.
Oh, like something you'd call the EOD out for,
muttered Gus, pulling on one of the levers.
You were right. They did have a paper,
Janelle said, catching up to him much quicker than he thought she'd be able to.
It even has a grocery store nearby. That should be more than enough for my needs.
Giving up on the machine that was too complicated for something that should spew out liquid go-go juice, Gus could only check a sigh.
Okay, lead on then. You've got the map,
grumbled Gus.
Perfect. We'll get you some coffee one way or the other. You'll need the energy,
Janelle said, and left the hotel lobby. She was as confident as the military woman he remembered, if not more so, especially considering who he was in her culture.
Any preference for dinner? Janelle asked.
Nope, doesn't really matter,
said Gus pointedly.
Huh. Oh, yes,
Janelle said as they got out into the parking lot. Turning her head left, then right, she oriented herself to the position of the street and where they were.
This way. As far as dinner goes, then, here. You can enjoy me for now.
As if Janelle spun a faucet handle, fear began to pour out of her. Fear of rejection, fear of sexual misadventures with Gus, fear of not having enough experience in bed to satisfy him, fear of letting Gus down tonight. Then a whole deluge of fear simply regarding the fact that she was going to be alone with Gus and attempting to talk him into participating in elven sex rituals. And it was all wonderfully delicious to him. Pure, true fear in its most base form. Janelle had done a masterful job of controlling herself and her emotions. A truly tight rein held through steely determination. Then again, this was the same woman who was shoved naked into a cell after being abducted. She was as mentally durable as she was pretty.
Better?
Janelle asked as she marched down the sidewalk and began walking in the direction she wanted. There was no outward appearance of her fear or discomfort. She looked the same as she always did. Calm, collected, and on a job.
I mean, your fear is delicious, if that's what you're asking,
Gus said, catching up to her and matching her pace for pace.
It damn well better be,
Janelle muttered, then cleared her throat.
I'm going to assume here that your own investigations typically started out the same way mine did. Information gathering and confirmation.
I mean, yeah,
Gus replied with a sharp nod of his head. The fear from Janelle was never-ending, and she didn't seem to be hindered by it at all.
Interviews, cross-check all the information, figure out where the investigation left off, and go from there,
confirmed Gus.
No sense in trying to pick up where they left off without checking to see if there's any new information.
Agreed. We'll start with that, then. I'll take Sarah. You take Chloe. We'll divide the list in half and start talking to people,
Janelle suggested.
Unless you have a better idea.
Nope, I don't. It sounds good to me. I'm curious, though,
started Gus, wondering how to word his question.
Why take Sarah?
Because she and I fit better together than Chloe and I,
admitted Janelle.
I like Chloe. She's actually rather fun, but I think the only person she's really willing to listen to is you, and that could come back and haunt me later if I tried to work with her so soon. Maybe later, after... well, after.
That's, yeah, that fits. I'd probably have picked the same partner for myself, if I'm being honest. Chloe and I are a bit more chaotic than Sarah or Janelle.
That being said, I think having you work the PID and the Coven angle is best. You two have a great deal of experience in those circles and could probably get more information than Sarah or I, Janelle finished.
Got it. That makes sense. Didn't realize you'd already read everything Mel put together, said Gus.
To be fair, he hadn't actually read any of it yet. He'd planned on doing it tonight.
Read it on my flight home. Mel had already told me I'd be going with you, so I thought I'd get ahead of it,
Janelle said with a casual flick of her hand. Up ahead, he could see what looked like a Greek restaurant that one could generously describe as a hole in the wall.
I've memorized nearly all of it. I'm sure Sarah has already as well.
And Chloe and I probably haven't even read the title page between the both of us,
said Gus with an ugly chuckle.
I would assume neither of you has. No, but that's fine. Just a different style is all. I can give you the highlights if you want while we order,
offered Janelle as she started to turn toward the Greek place.
It's actually rather interesting when you compile everything together as Mel did.
Sure, hit me. I'm sure you've already picked out all the salient points,
Gus muttered, knowing that once she gave him the rundown, he could focus better on the report when he read it.
The Fed, what we know of the Council from Sarah and Dunyosha, and the involved covens all were focusing on one person,
Janelle began as she grabbed the handle of the restaurant door.
A vigilante by the name of Yellow Eyes.
Gus faintly knew the name. He'd seen a few reports about the individual when he was working PID, but they hadn't actually concerned him. They had nothing to do with the cases he'd been working. Pulling the door open, Janelle stepped inside and Gus followed her in. Stepping into a line, she turned back to Gus.
No one really found anything one way or the other. There were a few suspects, but they all turned up cold or vanished,
Janelle murmured, her voice dropping in volume considerably. There was a comfortable amount of ambient noise, so that Gus imagined they could be somewhat open, so long as they didn't drop any names or identifiable information.
Uh-huh. What about the perp themselves? They vanish? Stop doing their thing?
Gus asked.
Because honestly, those individuals are a lot like serials. They don't stop. They sometimes change enough that they look like someone else, but they don't stop.
Vanished for quite a while, actually, said Janelle, shifting up a spot in line. Been quiet since the since you quit.
Since I quit?
Gus repeated, feeling like that was an odd fact.
Yeah, nearly to the day. Up to that point, they were very active. Quite a few high-visibility takedowns,
Janelle said, and glanced over her shoulder. She was now at the front of the line.
One second, Gus.
Huh. That's very odd.
It is, and it isn't, said Indali. For all you know, they want to find out who killed Newbin to try and recruit them.
Huh. I guess. Trying to find someone of a like mind.
Indeed. It is something to explore. I'll see if Mel and I can't put something together on the back end,
said Indali.
I do regret not being there with you. Still, with Melody helping to balance my projection, I think I could function in two places at once. You should take me with you the next time so we can test it. She says hello, by the way. There isn't a single time that she sees me that she doesn't ask about you. Tell me to tell you hi, or tell you very dirty things.
Sounds about right for Mel. Tell her I said hello. And, you could always tell me the dirty things, Indali.
All set,
Janelle said, coming back to Gus.
I ordered you a gyro sandwich, just so you can eat with us. Got Chloe one as well, but you'll have to add her favorite condiment to it.
What?
Gus asked, raising an eyebrow and following Janelle to the other side of the interior.
She won't eat it unless you add something to it for her.
Janelle tried again, but stopped saying anything further as they walked through a group of people.
No, not gonna put my blood in a food like it's ketchup.
Gus shook his head as Janelle posted up near the wall, putting her back to it.
No? Curious, given your own personal preference,
Indali critiqued.
My own personal pre...
Thought freezing midway, Gus realized what she meant. Melody literally baked fear into his meal so he could eat while he ate. It was an incredibly satisfying feeling to him.
Got it. I'll make sure I dress her food appropriately.
Smart man.
And that brings us back to where we are now,
Janelle said, leaning her head against the wall and looking at him.
The leads and trail are cold, everything has been picked over by all those involved, and no one has anything beyond what we already took.
We'll figure out something. Always do,
Gus soothed with a shrug of his shoulders. Then he leaned up against the wall next to Janelle.
I think we'll get our best results from the nightlife. They're usually pretty dialed into a lot of what's going on. Large or small, they're in the know.
Would not know. My area of expertise is more with talking heads, soldiers, and the news. Which is why I'll be dealing with the Fed and the news agencies.
You're welcome to 'em. Even when I was a Fed, I didn't like the Fed,
quipped Gus.
Obvious reasons, of course.
Understandable. And speaking of that, I've heard from a number of interested, parties about your status,
Janelle said, changing the subject. Gus assumed she meant the interested parties were elven clan heads.
Yeah, tell them I'm abiding by the rules.
Trying to be discreet about it, Gus really wasn't sure what other term he could apply to the treaty he'd signed.
Can't really say ceasefire aloud without getting someone to look at me, I bet.
I did. Then I told them I was officially married to you by
Janelle's voice caught on the word, and she coughed once.
Married to you. We've received several invitations to join them for meetings and get-togethers. I've declined them all so far, though I do think we'll have to eventually make an appearance in one way or another. It's one thing to abide by those rules. It's another that we got married while doing it. You're a personage that is now inextricably tied to my family, and my family is very interested in me now as well. Having you in their family is incredibly desirable to them.
Rolling his eyes, Gus let out a loud and deliberate sigh.
Really? Do we have to? I'd really rather not. It's not exactly the highlight of the century for me, you know? What I did, I had to do. I didn't seek that out.
I know that, but that doesn't change the impact of the event. It is what it is. It'll be fine, and I can promise you that they will all behave.
Great. That's the last thing I want or need at all. Absolute last.
To be fair, I think it would be good for you. Good for them as well,
said Indali.
A good way to lay axes and fears to bed while building things to be better.
Besides, we'll be participating in a lot of family traditions. I promise you like those. Maybe once we get through a number of them, I can convince you that the family really isn't that bad. Just that there's some black sheep in there. After all, what family doesn't have problems and troublemakers?
Gus was unable to break away from the thought of what she meant by family traditions. Her fears of tonight were coming back to push into his thoughts again, of what she wanted to do to him and was also afraid to do. There was a new fear creeping up through her thoughts, though. The second room she'd asked the front desk for might not be as comfortable as the first one they'd booked. She wasn't sure she could convince Chloe and Serafina to go into the other room and leave her with Gus if the new room wasn't as good as the original one they'd been given. Then the fear vanished completely, as if she came to a decision.
Ah, family traditions. Rituals, as she called them. This should be interesting.
Very.
Chapter 6. Vampires, not the Mafia. Pulling the rental car off the road and into a parking lot, Gus looked around.
I don't see it,
he muttered, looking from side to side.
You see it?
No,
Chloe said, slouching low in her seat. She looked rather pleased with herself, hands on her headrest.
Not really looking either. Too busy enjoying myself.
Sighing, Gus continued to slowly cruise through the parking lot.
And how exactly are you enjoying yourself? Because from my point of view, you're just sitting there,
Gus muttered.
Well, you see, last night I found myself getting into a fight with my best friend,
Chloe said, her head tilting to one side as she looked out the window.
Still not sure how that friendship happened. I mean, we're both up way too late by human standards, so maybe it's just that we share a similar lifestyle. Anyway, big fight, stupid crap. Normal stuff. Then I realize my blood partner is missing. Apparently, he's gone off to get food for himself with that knife-eared elven hoe who reeks of lust, and I'm alone with my idiot best friend who watches too much porn lately. I'm not sure how many times she can watch girls with glasses given head, but I'm personally at my limit.
Smirking, Gus just kept looking at the buildings and shop fronts they were driving past. The fact that Chloe was best friends with Serafina amused him. He could easily see them forming a good friendship together. And that they already had, in fact. Serafina being so neutral and direct with things, and Chloe being volatile in either direction of the spectrum, allowed them to cover each other's blank spots.
A lot like Mark and I. I need to call him, make sure he's doing all right. Uh-huh,
Gus prompted, waiting for her to continue the story.
Well, then my blood partner shows up back with dinner. Everyone gets their food, and I'm sitting there wondering what I'll do with myself, especially since Sarah decided she was done arguing with me,
Chloe said.
Then, my blood partner sets down a gyro sandwich for me, and me, being an angry bitch, starts thinking up all the horrible things I can tell him to do with it then. But then, he rolls up his sleeve and promptly cuts himself to cover my food with exactly what I needed. What I wanted so badly, just for me, so I could eat with him. Then he partner fed me after, in bed, while I was naked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was there for all that,
said Gus, focusing on the storefront. He was pretty sure this was what they were looking for.
It was so lovely. So, so lovely. My blood partner treats me like a little vampire princess,
Chloe murmured. Stretching in her seat, she inadvertently gave Gus a show of her toned, pale, and athletic self. She was wearing a short skirt, blouse, and light coat.
I'm going to make you pop so hard, Gus, when I get a hold of you. You're spoiling me, a rotten, murdering convict.
I'll remind you that I had your record cleared,
Gus said, pulling into a parking space and putting the car in park.
I know. Fine, I'm just a rotten, murdering vampire peasant girl, and I'm all yours,
Chloe said, unfastening her seatbelt.
Now, get in the back with me real quick. I'm going to rock your world in a way that even Trish can't.
You know what? Sure, I'll take you up on that. But after we finish this, job to do,
Gus reminded, pointing at the storefront.
Because I found it.
Really? You will? Fantastic!
Chloe exclaimed and sat up in her chair, then she opened her door and got out. Gus followed suit, getting out of the car and adjusting his coat. It wasn't exactly hot enough that his coat was uncomfortable, but it wasn't cold enough that he was uncomfortable without it either. Chloe adjusted her coat, likely shifting around the holster that was under it. She looked like a lovely young woman, and the holster was definitely out of place. But she'd taken care with what she was wearing, and you couldn't see it unless her coat was wide open. It had taken longer for him to get his own permit than hers. Her record was technically clean. Cleaner than his was, as a medically discharged veteran with psychiatric problems on file.
All right, what is this again?
Chloe asked, shutting the car door.
Because if you're actually going to give me a joyride in the back seat, the last thing I want to do is waste time here. Do you have any idea how long I was in prison? Or how long it had even been before that? And don't even get me started on what partner feeding from me does to my sex drive, damn it.
Fed has him marked as a coven location. Low-level entry point and mostly clean. Only got picked up because someone got grabbed in a sweep,
Gus said.
They're leaving it alone because it gives them a way to track people. Which means the coven probably knows it too.
Oh yeah, definitely. They'll just use this as an operation point for the clean side of the business and parade everyone they want the Fed to know about through it, Chloe said. That'll make this easy.
Doubly so, because we're not with the Fed. And we don't care about the business. Just looking for information on Yellow Eyes.
We willing to pay, or are we just asking?
Probably pay, if it's cheap. Otherwise, just asking. But you know how this goes.
Of course I do. Just make sure you've got it on lockdown this time. Or if you can't, just keep thinking about that back seat with me. Your heart rate is already still really high from that,
Chloe said, moving around to Gus's side of the car.
And I'm really flattered at how you're reacting to that idea.
Gus couldn't deny he was more than willing to jump Chloe at the moment. Nor had he hesitated about letting Janelle carry out a number of rituals with him, which turned out to just be a lot of sex. Sex in different ways, using different things she bought at the grocery store, and in different positions.
Trish is really flooring my engine, isn't she? It's like I can't get enough anymore.
If she is, it is a positive thing,
Indali commented. The two of them gave each other a quick once-over and then walked into the business. It was a mattress store. No customers were inside, and the few salespeople standing around looked like they had no idea what to do with themselves.
Hello,
said a young man not far away.
Thanks for coming in today. What can I do for you, Mr. and Mrs.
Chloe smiled at the young man and laid a possessive hand on Gus's arm.
Oh, we're just here to
talk to me,
said a middle-aged man standing behind a desk off to one side.
Come on, we'll speak in my office.
The man wasn't really handsome or ugly, fat or thin. He just was. With short black hair, blue eyes, and a handful of wrinkles, he looked as everyday as you could be. He was also quite human and nothing out of the ordinary. As the man turned away and started toward a back room, Gus slipped a thread of power into the man's mind and then let it lay there, keeping hold of it, but not engaging it quite yet. If they passed through any warding or shielding, he didn't want his ability to set something off or trigger an alarm. Entering a small office, the man sat down behind the desk and gestured at the two seats in front of him.
So, which alphabet?
The man asked, before Gus had even closed the door.
None. Private investigators,
Gus said.
We both used to work for the Fed, though. Quit after the bombing.
It was all the truth. If they dug up who Gus and Chloe were, that's exactly what they'd find. They'd worked for the Fed and quit.
I was a felon before I worked for the Fed, Chloe said, giving the man a wide and obvious smile. Murder, extortion, kidnapping. Actually, pretty much anything violent.
Blinking, the man took that in and looked somewhat confused.
Okay. Are you here to buy a mattress, then?
He asked, not quite able to keep up.
Afraid not,
Gus said, slowly calling up the thread he'd left in the man's mind.
We're actually here to try and barter with your coven for something.
The man's mind was much quicker than his face led one to believe. It zipped across several assumptions he'd made, erased them, and replaced them with the information he had available. Then he jumped with logic to several others that were actually correct. Gus and Chloe were here to barter, trade, or ask for information that concerned his coven directly. They were well aware the place was being watched and had taken that into their own plan. They also had Fed information available to them if they had tracked his coven to this location as a front.
I can't speak for the coven,
the man said after deciding there was no point in arguing what this place was.
But I can certainly put in a request for you. Any details I can pass along to try and make this meeting a thing?
We're looking for information, Chloe said. Depending on how much you have and the validity, we could certainly pay you for that information as well.
Sure,
replied the man with a casual smile. He didn't like the way Chloe had phrased that at all.
And who are you working for? Locke LLC. Investigations is our primary focus at this time,
Gus said easily. He knew that Melody was well known in many circles. The fact that she'd gone Fed and had already come back had likely spread quickly in those very same circles.
We're going through a bit of rebranding and sharpening our focus.
Skittering across several thoughts, the man had indeed heard of Lark LLC. Heard of it, and had been told not to harass anyone claiming to be from it, and to assist them if possible.
I see. Can I see your identification?
Asked the man. Gus figured that might be the case, given the man's thoughts. Pulling out his wallet, Gus flicked it to his private investigator's license, the one that also listed him working for Lark LLC.
I wonder if most people have seen these before. Does he even know what to look for to make sure it's valid?
Chloe had done the same as Gus, pulling her own ID from the small purse on her shoulder. There was a moment of absolute surprise, followed by trepidation as the man confirmed each license.
I'm sure we can come to an arrangement,
said the man amicably, holding his hands out.
What kind of information were you looking for? We're trying to track down an individual by the name of Yellow Eyes. They're a vigilante who operates solely out of Colorado so far,
Gus said, keeping close tabs on the man's mind at the moment. The moment the name Yellow Eyes came up, the man's thoughts nearly shut down. So complete was his shock and absolute horror at the name that his mouth hung open.
I'm sorry,
said the man, shaking his head.
I'm afraid there's nothing to be discussed. Nothing at all. Please, don't come back, either. Don't contact anyone else in the coven for anything regarding Yellow Eyes. You're better off not getting involved. Nothing good comes of him.
Could we at least...
Leave. Now,
repeated the man. His mind was roiling with thoughts, memories of a golden-winged monster rampaging through a building, tearing through anyone who stood in his way, on a mission that no one but Yellow Eyes understood. Then the memory flipped to footage from a security camera, footage that ended up on the internet, on a website that tracked Yellow Eyes on his crusade. And it was called The Watcher's Post. It had been taken down recently due to governmental pressure, but it had been a host for all things Yellow Eyes for quite a while.
Fine. Thank you for your time,
Gus said and stood up. Chloe stood up a second behind him. The two exited the store quickly and got back into the car.
Oh, I don't think we should get in the back seat here,
Chloe grumbled as soon as her door closed.
There were other vamps there. They were just hiding. I could hear their miserable selves breathing, though. All young ones, younger than even Dunyasha. No skill or experience at all.
Gus put the keys in the ignition, then looked at Chloe and waited until she looked at him.
You sure?
Gus asked. Then he grinned.
This car is super dark. The windows are hilariously tinted, and the back seat doesn't look terrible.
Snickering at that, Chloe laid her head against the headrest and held his eyes with her own.
No, Indigo. My Indigo. I've changed my mind. You'll bed me back at the hotel tonight,
Chloe said in a soft tone, one that didn't match the woman he knew.
You'll feed me a little, bed me, then wind down and watch a show with me while I sip on you.
Whatever you like, my green,
Gus said, putting the car in reverse.
I'll trade something with Jan to get her room for us. Don't you worry,
Chloe murmured. Then she reached across the center console and grabbed Gus's right hand. Slipping her fingers into his, she held onto his hand tightly. She was holding on to him with vampiric strength, as if she were afraid he'd pull his hand away.
Okay, thanks. That'll make it easier,
Gus said, going with it.
By the way, I was, of course, in that man's mind.
Gus pulled the car out in reverse with one hand, shifted it into drive, and then started to spin the wheel away so they could get rolling.
If I could describe what happened when I brought up Yellow Eyes, it'd be that he shit himself mentally,
Gus said, squeezing Chloe's hand.